A very good morning to you, my dear people, my dear ladies and gentlemen. Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It is Saturday morning, the 2nd of August. We are at the very beginning of the month of August. What are your goals? What are you hoping to change this month? You know, anything new, any goals, any hopes, any things that you want to change? So it's a new month. It comes with new things. Maybe it's a time, to start actually changing certain things that you want to actually improve in your life. What could that be? It could be behavior. It could be, on a social terms, they were talking about money. You know, it could be how you spend your money. You know, it could maybe something that you want to change this month, or it could be, something you can also change. That you don't overspend, that you prioritize the most important things in your life. All right. Welcome to Mind Matters. It's a Saturday morning. So welcome to Mind Matters. And, something is disturbing me. All right. So welcome to Saturday morning. Our time, it's about, 7 minutes past the hour of 11. And from 11 to 1 o'clock, we call this time, a mental health times. You know, this is mental health hours. So my name is Mike, Oshoveri. And this is Mind Meta. This is the program where we focus, where we explore the psychological patterns and social factors that affect how you think, how you feel, and how you make choices in life. So during this time, as we call it, a mental health and mental health hours, you're most welcome to come through and talk to me if you are going through some distressful situation or something that is going on, something that is bothering, or someone that or a question that you have that you're looking for an answer when it comes to mental health issues. You know, you can always call me and we can look at that. And also, you don't have to necessarily actually say who you are or talk that this is what I'm going through. You can just, give a scenario of a situation and we can also discuss. As I always said, if I don't have an answer to that, I can always, refer you or look for an answer and come back to you in the next program or in the next show. So good morning and welcome to Mind Matters. So now, today we are talking about something that is really hitting close to home for all of us, for many, 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 many of us. So this is the connection, and it's more or less, we actually continue the conversation that actually Hileni had on Social Times. So this is the connection between our money and our mental health. Right? The connection between our money and our mental health. And so the big question this morning is, or the big question that we're asking, or the topic that we're discussing today is your happiness tied to your financial situation? Is your happiness tied to your financial situation? Is your happiness depend on your financial situations? That's very important, because what we're going to look at is that sometimes when your mindset is that I can't be happy if I don't have money, I can't be happy because of this, I can't be happy because of this, then it means your happiness is actually tied to your. But today we're specifically looking at financial situation. So it is a simple question, but the answer is really, 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 really complex. And we're going to go into that, especially now we see headlines, we hear stories from our neighbors, our families. We know that many of us are struggling, and we are seeing a heartbreaking rise. We also see heartbreaking rise in a suicide death in our country, and especially among men. So, and that's why this question is very, 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 very relevant. So let me ask you something, okay? When you look around your community, your workplace, your family, how many men do you see who are really, really struggling in silence? How many are carrying this weight, this financial weight, or this weight of financial stress on their shoulder, believing that they have to be strong and believing that they can't ask for help? How many? Now, the truth is this. The truth is we are really facing a crisis in our country. We have to acknowledge this. It should be an emergency. By now, it should be in a state of emergency when it's come to, you know, to these issues. So we are losing more than one man every single day to suicide. Let me say that again. Every single day, more than one Namibian man takes his own life. That should be emergency. That should be a state of emergency. Now, let me give you some statistics. Between 2020 and 2023, we lost 1,542 people to suicide. 1,552 between 2020, this is about 3 years. So we lost about, and this I didn't include it now, 2024, 2025. I'm just, because that's a statistic I have. So 1,542 of our brothers, of our fathers, of our sons, of our sister mothers. So, and 82% of that, 82% of them were men. 82% of that were men. And my friend, these are not just police report numbers on paper. This is our people. This is our mothers. This is our brothers. This is our fathers. These are men who felt so trapped by the circumstances, so overwhelmed by financial pressure, because that's what we're going to talk about, and many other factors, that they couldn't see another, I think they couldn't see another way out. And this is something that we need to talk about. So, and a good example is our Prime Minister. Our Prime Minister, Eliangurare, so recently shared something brave, and he was very honest about it. And he was very honest to us. So he told us about his own dark moment, his own dark moment between 2015 and 2019. So during that time, he really had financial stress, and nearly actually broke him. So he said suicide crossed his mind because he thought his life insurance would help actually his family. That's how desperate financial pressure can make a person feel. So, but here's what I want you to understand. This is what I want you to understand this morning, if you're listening. So financial stress is not a personal failure. So because some people now think that, you know, when you have this financial stress, it is a personal failure. No, it is not a weakness. Understand that. That's, as I said, I want you to understand. It's not a personal failure. It's not a weakness. It is a real, real, real challenge that would actually affect your mind, that would affect your body, and also that would affect your relationship. That's a fact. That's a reality. And that's why we see what is happening, that it has consequences to our relationship. It's a consequences to our life. So it is, that's a reality. But as I said, it's not a personal failure. It's not a weakness that you know. So, and look at our reality. We also must look at our reality, what is going on. our unemployment rate is sitting at almost, if you take the narrow definition, you know, that's used by the government, it's almost 37%. So that means more than one in three working age Namibians don't have a job. Now, so more than one in three, more than one in three, we're talking about a working age Namibian don't have a job. And for our young men, and especially for our young men between 20 and 29, the picture is even darker. The picture is even worse. So now, these are the years, especially when you're looking at 20 to 29, these are the years when society tell them, when Tata tell these people, tell these men, they should be providers, they should be breadwinners, they should be strong ones. You understand? But how can you provide when there are no jobs? How can you be strong when the system is actually stuck against you? So we have to understand the circumstances. So we have about 43% of our population living also in multidimensional poverty. And this is not just about money. It's not just about money. That's about having access to education, having access to healthcare, having access to clean water. You can go on, have access to decent housing. So when you are fighting just to survive, my friend, when you can't meet the basic need for your family, that pressure sometimes start to build inside. It starts to build up inside of you. So, and these are the things that we need to talk about. And on top of that, and our society has taught, especially men, our society has taught that, has taught men that they can't talk about this struggle. You can't talk about this struggle. We have told the men that be a real man. Don't cry. Real men don't ask help. Real men just push through. And I can tell you that silence is killing us. Literally, that silence is killing us as men. So, but I need you to hear this. There is hope. All right? There is help. Okay? There are people who understand what you are going through. And this morning, in a few minutes now, we are going to talk to Elsabe Grotzinger. She's a clinical psychologist from Vala Wellness. We will be talking to someone who probably gonna give us some insight, especially about, you know, financial stress. And we will go into this discussion. Because your happiness, it doesn't have to be tied to your financial situation, as I asked at the beginning. Your worth as a man or as a woman, as a human being, isn't measured by paycheck. Isn't measured by your ability to provide. It's not measured by ability to provide everything your family wants. No. So today here on Mind Matter, we are going to dig deep into this connection between money and mental health. So we will talk about practical ways to cope with financial stress. We will discuss about the unique pressure Namibian men and women face. And most importantly, we will remind you that asking for help is not giving up. So it is the strongest thing you can do. Okay? So stay tuned. Stay tuned with us. Your mental health matters. If you want to really know more about this, and your life matters. We want you to stay tuned because your mental health matters. Your life matters, And no matter how dark things might seem right now, there is a way forward. And we're going to look at that. This is Mind Matters, and we are here for you, Namibia. So we will come back. At the moment, let's go for a quick musical break. And when we're back, we will be talking to El Sabe. Stay tuned. We will be back. Angula chinyama osiyalo na kumunda ikalyonde nde kumbonga nguluwe kumosiwe kuvaliwe kutende kweli kwangula chinyama osiyalo na kumunda ikalyonde nde kumbonga nguluwe ndakumaye ya ya o ndakutaje ya ya o ndikatambulo wanga ndakumaye ya ya o Ndakumaye ya ya o Ndakutaje ya ya o Ndikatambulo wanga Ndakumaye ya ya o Amai ndikatambulo wanga Ndakutaje ya ya o Ai ndikatambulo wanga Ndakumaye ya ya o Awoyo ndikatambulo wanga Ndakutaje ya ya o Ai ndikatambulo wange Ndakumaye ya ya o Amai ndikatambulo wanga Olo hombo ke pia ke pia Olo hombo ke pia ke pia Olo hombo ke pia ke pia Aye ka tuli vali Aye ka tuli vali Aye ka tuli vali Aye ka tuli vali Heya Lupuke
Let's you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear or favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? Any person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Yes, good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Mind Matters. Yeah, like what I said in the introductions, today we're talking about, is your happiness really tied to your financial situations? And as I said earlier on is that, we see what is going on. We see the stories from our neighbors, our families. We know that many of us are really struggling. And I even given an example of what our prime minister have talked about. Our prime minister have come out and said, because of financial, at certain point in his life, because of our financial situation, he wanted actually to take his own life. And the other things also I indicated that there are so many men in our country who are taking their lives because of financial pressure. It's not the only things. There are other factors as well contributing to that. So, but there are so many men that are taking their own life because of a financial pressure. So today specifically, we're looking at financial stress. And luckily enough, I told you that I will be, I'm not alone today in the studio, probably for about 20 or 30 minutes. I have, Elsabeth, who will be joining me. Good morning and welcome to Mind Matters.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. All right. So now, before we really get into our topic today and in some nitty-gritty, give us your organization? How is it called?
Yes. Yeah, my name is Elsabe Grotzinger, and I'm from Valor Wellness Retreat.
Yeah, Valor Wellness.
Wellness Retreat.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you give us what is wellness? What does your organization actually does? So it's true that we just get a little bit of a perspective of what you do and what your organization actually does.
Yes, thank you very much. It's an inpatient mental health clinic. Mm-hmm. So it means that we are admitting clients or patients who are experiencing severe mental health problems, mm-hmm. like depression or anxiety or alcohol or drug abuse or suicide ideation. Mm-hmm. So there are many mental health illnesses that we treat. Then I also have a psychology practice in Windhoek.
So
the retreat is 45 minutes outside of Windhoek.
Okay. So do you only have one branch in Windhoek, or do you have several branches in some other places?
We only have one branch, the psychology practice, mm-hmm. where we evaluate the patients.
Yeah.
And then we have the hospital outside of Windhoek. The patients can be referred by psychiatrists, by doctors, and also by psychologists.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So normally, and can a person walk in if they feel that they have this problem and they want to talk to somebody? So can also someone on self-reference, self-referral, if you want, can they just walk in also and be able to access that help?
Yes. Since I'm a psychologist, I can do the evaluation and then determine if the person needs to be admitted into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But then we will also, depending on the medical aids, the person can be referred to a psychiatrist.
Uh-huh.
So some medical aids require that the psychiatrist refer them, but it is important for a psychologist to make the initial assessment.
Mm.
Yeah, so what will happen is in Windhoek, if they don't have a psychologist or a psychiatrist, then I can make the initial assessment,
yeah,
and then we take it from there.
Okay. So normally you treat more, you treat people that have mental health condition.
Disorders.
Yeah,
yes.
Disorders. Yeah. So yes. If someone does feel that there is something that is disturbing me and I just need to talk to somebody, would they also access your service?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And what I see in my daily experience is that people wait until things severely deteriorate, until it becomes very bad.
Yeah.
And then they come. So I would actually encourage people that we don't wait so long. When we see that we feel sad or bad or mad, you know, those basic emotions, then you can already access as a psychologist,
because we have so many
stereotypes towards psychology that we think it's only mad people.
Yeah.
And that is actually quite discriminatory. It's not mad people who talk to psychologists. It's people who need somebody trustworthy, who are not non-judgmental to speak to. And then we teach you basic coping skills that you take back into your life and makes your life easier.
Yeah.
It's like you're just talking to somebody else.
Yeah. I think that's a myth that we probably have to talk from the very beginning where people, and this is, it's very important because many people, the reasons why they don't access psychologists or counselors or any access in this, access help in this way, counseling services, is because they believe that it's people that are crazy that goes and looking for this kind of help. From the very beginning, what would you say already to people who feel that, no, I'm not going to a shrink? You know, they'll even refer to us as a shrink.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that is truly a misperception, and we are actually harming ourselves by saying that.
Yeah.
So we need to be part of breaking the cycle.
Yeah.
Breaking the cycle so that we at the end know that it is just another person, a professional that we are talking to, and they can actually help us, like I already said, learning skills and coming, looking at situations. Sometimes our thoughts are actually telling us, our minds are telling us a lot of lies.
Yeah.
And we have the tendency to actually believe our own lies.
Yeah.
And then our cultures.
Mm.
We grew up in cultures that is actually, that's where those lies came from in the first place, that I'm not good enough, not brave enough, I'm not smart enough.
Mm.
So there was somebody who told us these things.
Yeah.
And we have actually built our adulthood on that.
Yeah.
So psychologist is a profession where we help you to actually correct that misbeliefs, because it's the core beliefs, it's the beliefs that you grew up with since a child.
Yeah.
And then we actually adapt, we help you to correct those false beliefs, and we teach you to, for instance, to have healthier, more positive cognitions, thought patterns, thoughts. We actually say the thought patterns are dysfunctional, or they are unhelpful, or they are irrational.
Yeah.
So you say dysfunctional, unhelpful, irrational. So we want to make them functional, helpful, and rational thoughts.
Mm.
And that already changed. I see how it transformed people's lives, because then they don't beat themselves up anymore.
Yeah. So you're mentioning something very important here. You said your mind actually tells us lies. Not many people understand that. Not many people understand that. Because think about it, and I want you to emphasize that. Yeah, I'm just also calling out people to think about this. Or throughout the day, how many things your mind actually tells you to be true? And if you don't recognize that sometimes your mind tells you lies, you actually go on believing them. But the most important point you're making is that when we grew up, from maybe our childhood, there were certain things that we were told, you know, and we believed them at that time.
Yes.
So, and possibly they may have worked at that time, you know, but they may not be working at this time anymore. Okay, so and we continue believing in that, and that could then affect us emotionally or affect how we make decision and how we feel and how we make choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it influences our interpersonal relationships. So in our romantic relationships and our sibling relationships.
Yeah.
And very important in our work relationships also, because when somebody says something, then it triggers something that we usually got told early in our lives. So then it triggers that, and then we react because then it's like this wound has been opened.
Yeah.
So it's very, this cognitive distortion, the function, is actually very common, and most people, or quite a large number of people, actually experience these thought patterns, and it's a very few people, actually quite confident people, and most of us are not that confident. That all these, it's a confident people that actually have more positive thought patterns.
Yeah.
And it's the people who have been complimented to say, oh, and that's what the new generations are trying to do with their kids, compliment them and say, oh, this is so nice. Yeah. Oh, you well done. You will hear it from the younger, these are today's 30-year-olds who are parents, 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
When you look at us, the older generation, we are so, oh, why didn't you get 80%? Why didn't you get 90%?
Yeah.
Why did you not clean this? You know, there's always, this is the, we call it critical and controlling parenthood.
Yeah, yeah.
So our parents are quite critical and controlling. And unfortunately, because we grew up like that, we also became critical and controlling parents.
Yeah.
But this new generation actually caught on to us. But with that, it's also, you know, a lot of positives, but also some negatives
in
that parent style.
Definitely. So now, when you mention about cognitive distortion, that now bring us to the topic that I want us to discuss today, which is actually, is your happiness tied to your financial situation? That in itself is also a cognitive distortion. Because if you believe that for you to be happy, you must have money. So that means you will be chasing money and money and money, and you never actually get to the point where you are actually happy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now, one thing that we want, that I really want us to look at, it's a really a pressing issue in Namibia where we have so many people, and especially men, who are losing their life, who are ending their life. And one of the reasons is really financial pressure. And we even have a teacher, one of the teacher in Okongo, who actually left a note. And he said that, you know, I have too many debt, you know. And even the prime minister also publicly shared his old deal in one of, I think, from 2015 to 2019, where he said he was also thinking actually ending his life so that his life cover would actually then cover some of those financial pressure that he felt. So now, so looking at this, what is your take really? When it comes to financial worries directly affecting the mental health of Namibian, especially when from your experience or from your practice?
Yes, no, definitely there's a huge link between financial stress and mental health, where that negatively impacts mental health. So it actually triggers or worsens anxiety. And anxiety is, for instance, an intense nervousness that goes with physical symptoms such as headaches, difficulty breathing, sweating, indigestion, for instance. So it's physical symptoms. And then also like depression and, as you have mentioned now, suicide ideation. And then what is very common is the alcohol and drug abuse.
Yeah.
And in our community, in our nation, that is a very common problem. So there's definitely these are the most common mental health issues that people are facing. And it is like this a vicious circle that it is being that it is starting, because it actually this poor mental health makes it harder to manage your finances effectively, because it impacts your, as you have also alluded to already, a difficulty with decision making, for instance.
So having now an ordinary person listening to us right now, so when they hear terms like financial stress, what, in a simple term, what does that really mean for so that when you understand this, so that a person can recognize that, okay, that's actually financial stress mean, and how do I then have to deal with that?
So financial distress or stress simply means that you are experiencing problems with money, with your finances, and it's difficult to meet your need, the financial need to pay your debt. So it goes along with a lot of worry and nervousness. And it becomes worse and worse. And as it becomes worse and worse, it actually makes it more difficult for you, because that's how the brain works. It makes it more difficult for you to be able to actually address or to address your financial issues, because it feels like you are just going deeper and deeper into that.
This now constant worry about money, like maybe you are thinking making it to the end of the month, paying the bills. Does it affect you physically and mentally over time? Does it over time affect you mentally and physically?
Absolutely, yes. So it does have it becomes long term symptoms for you. So it does affect you long term. So physically, you know, people can, for instance, get high blood pressure. They can get diabetes, and high blood pressure is the most common one. When we speak about high blood pressure and diabetes, what does that mean? It is heart-related conditions. So also your heart can be impacted, because you can actually get a heart attack or stroke, if we now just speak in simple terms. So that is quite serious. But also there are other type of physical symptoms, like headaches, for instance. So people stay in their rooms, in dark rooms, because they have headaches, for instance. But it can also, like I also mentioned already, indigestion. So stress causes many, even cancer can be caused by stress. Because financial stress causes general stress, and it impacts like your relationships, and then you have conflict in your marriage or in your relationship, for instance, can lead to divorce, because now you used to give me this and you cannot give me this anymore. It also, if we now move from the physical to the mental is, like I said, we have all these disorders, depression, anxiety, suicide ideation, as you have already spoke previously. And what happens when people have financial distress, and linking it to mental health, is that people start to, and especially men, start to withdraw. They lie about money. They feel ashamed. And their financial reality, you know, becomes a lie also. So that shame and that guilt that I cannot provide for my family when it comes to men. But in general, even women also have that same mental conditions. And I actually sit with clients that say it's like they are becoming totally helpless and hopeless. Yeah, and there's the shame. And that is what is causing the mental illness, illnesses, the depression and the anxiety. And at that stage, it actually impacts your decision making. So you don't make good financial decisions. It actually actually leads to the opposite. It actually leads to impulsive spending.
Yeah.
So you miss payments or lack of planning. People go and buy Kentucky.
Yeah.
Instead of now, sorry, instead of paying for their Lewis account, and then Lewis needs to come and take the furniture and whatever.
Yeah.
Or the municipality needs to come and disconnect the water and electricity.
Yeah.
But it also causes reduced motivation and energy.
Yeah.
So that it is making it harder to work.
Yeah.
And manage your life.
Yeah. Now you. I think when you mentioned the physical symptoms, you mentioned like high blood pressure or headache and all. But you also mentioned indigestion. Not many people understand what is that actually. So that when a person realizes that, okay, this is indigestion. What is actually indigestion?
Yeah. So indigestion is when you like when you feel like this burning sensation in your chest.
Yeah.
So it's a pain or discomfort like in the chest, in the stomach.
Yeah.
And it's associated with the difficulty of digesting your food.
Yeah.
Mm. So it feels sometimes like you want to get a heart attack because it feels like your heart is aching.
Yeah.
That is how bad it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
In Afrikaans, we call it swaybrand, but I don't know now. Maybe you can mention it in a different. But it's a pain and a discomfort in the stomach. It feels as if it is in the heart.
Yeah, yeah. It's a kind of like soul burning, you know?
Yeah, and feeling bloated and sick and full and burping and farting and mm-hmm. those type of things physically.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, mentally, you know, definitely, that leads to depression, anxiety, and fatigue and suicidal. Then come to the whole question of suicidal ideation. So now, and that would then impact your decision making.
Yes.
Yeah. So now. So how do you then, when people find themselves, and I also want to say that, you know, there are other factors as well contributing to this, symptoms as well. It's not just financial pressure, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. So when now people find themselves in these situations, how do they have to deal with this? How do they have to cope with this?
Yes, I will get to that now. I just want to mention that it can also impact your work performance, your attendance, your motivation, and it can actually lead to job loss also and reduced income because now you also have problems at work.
Mm.
So what we can do about that is we can actually... like
before you go to that, I think that's also an important point you're making there where to say, okay... We need to recognize this because it has impact. The impact, impact on our physical health, and impact on our mental health. And I think that's the point you are making. So, and these are some impact on our mental health. And that's when it has impact on our mental health. There are consequences like our relationship, like the decision we make and how we behave in at work and what in terms of our performance, in terms of how we relate to people around us. And I think that's what we need people to take away from what you're saying, because that's important. That's what lead now to some people end up killing some other people, end up battering other wife or girlfriend or whatever the case. Some of these cases that we hear in the country. So now, how do we cope with this? First of all, I want you to outline in a way that physically, what are things that we need to do to lessen some of the impact, psychologically impact. And then on a psychological level, how do we deal with that to maybe lessen also the impact of the consequences of those?
So physical, there's actually a few lifestyle changes that we can make.
Yeah.
So we can eat healthier. Now, when we say eat healthier, it doesn't mean that we need to go and buy all the expensive things in the shop.
Yeah.
Because that's the misconception, once again, that we have. When we eat healthy, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
It's just the way in which we prepare our food. So instead of frying them in a lot of oil and adding oil to everything, to the rice and the macaroni and the porridge, there's actually a healthy way. So we can bake in the oven, or we can boil, for instance. So there's the healthier ways to prepare food. Exercise, for instance.
Yeah.
When we exercise and we eat healthier, it's a significant physical health improvement, but more so also a mental health improvement.
Yeah.
And then if you go and walk or jog, the exercise, and for mental health, it is, you know, laughter. At my retreat, we actually have on the program, we have laughter therapy.
Laughter
So you are not allowed to talk. You are allowed, when we start with the laughter therapy, you cannot talk.
Yeah.
You need to laugh your sentences.
Yeah.
and we sing happy birthday in laughter, or a Christian song in laughter, or whatever.
Yeah.
So then people laugh because they look at each other. And they cannot speak.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny of what is happening. So, and when you laugh, then it actually means that your brain produces the happy hormones.
Yeah.
So laughter and exercise is in sunshine, for instance. So there's easy ways to build the happy hormones in your brain to create that.
Yeah.
So if you go and sit in the sun, then there's endorphins already, which is a happy hormone. If you hug your dog, or you hug your partner or your child, then oxytocin is being released.
Yeah.
And if you now exercise, then it's dopamine and endorphins.
Yeah. So
dopamine is actually the painkiller. So when you have dopamine, then it means that it addresses the pain in your body also.
Exactly. So I want you to leave, because sometimes people don't, I talk about quite a lot in terms of the process in your mind. Okay. So, and I want you to link this to when you, a person said, I'm worried about the bill that I need to pay. And you are telling me, go and take a 10 minute walk.
People get so mad. Get upset.
You are telling me to go and take a 10 minute walk. How does the 10 minute walk help deal with my problems? And I want you to help in a sense that, the problem you have of paying your bills, it's a physical one. You don't have money, but the problem now is in your mind. The worrying is in your mind. How does taking a walk would help? You know, dealing with what the person is going through in the mind.
Yes, like I have already mentioned, when you are so distressed, it impacts your decision making.
Yeah.
For instance, so by taking a walk, it means that more oxygen is going to your brain.
Yeah.
Or by jogging, more oxygen. So it means that it already has immediate benefits.
Mm.
So you will have more motivation, you will have more energy.
Yeah.
And then you will also feel better and maybe perhaps sleep better.
Yeah.
So, and that is what people say. And they actually, I remember somebody close to me went to see a psychologist.
Yeah.
And the person came back and said, you know, I'm so sick. Yeah, the same thing. My colleagues also at my previous workplace. I'm so sick. I'm being told, can you believe it? I'm being told I need to go and exercise. But it is exactly that that is getting you that motivation and to that feeling good so that you are able to make better decisions. So then you can come up with them.
Yeah.
Instead of now just say, no, I need to go and borrow money. And that's another thing that I also want to talk about.
Yeah.
When you borrow money and you promise I will give you back money, then that's a commitment that you make.
Yeah.
You should actually give the money back so that you can go back again.
Yeah.
But now you don't go back, and then that also adds to your distress, because now you need to go and stand with a red face because you promised and you didn't keep your promise.
Yeah.
So it's okay if you borrow money, but just remember You need to keep, you need to keep your door open, eh?
But actually,
go back to that.
Yeah, you add more worries on you because
you add more worries.
Yeah, because when you see a call coming in, you think already someone is after his money now, and you keep looking on the phone and you keep ignoring it. You add
and it
more worry.
Yes, it gives you a tremendous stress. Now you are mad at the person that is supposed to help you. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
I see it so often.
Yeah,
and also what I've also seen, Michael, is that people. Now I have tried in therapy to help people to come up with small self-help projects, like, you know, you make eyes or you make self chips or succulent lollies, all of that. And people cannot even manage that.
Yeah.
Because of their brain is actually impacted in the way where they cannot think, they cannot concentrate.
Yeah.
And again, back to the energy and the decision making and the fatigue and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like having this vicious circle.
Would it also be, and this is also a good point to make, would it also be that where you focus, where your mind is focused, that you become actually? Because if you constantly just thinking about what should I, how can I pay this, then which also exercise that you mentioned also comes in, because it breaks you from keep thinking. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So would it also that where your mind, where you focus, would actually, you would be that. That would create the energy
absolutely.
In you. That would create that you become more so, more stressed, because that's where you focus your mind on.
Yes, yes. You are, Dave, what you are saying is very important. Actually brings me to our thoughts, our mind impacts our emotions or our heart.
Yeah.
So if I think negatively and think, why is this person looking at me funny? She's always looking at me funny.
Yeah.
That's the thought. How does it impact your emotions? You feel mad, or you feel sad, or you feel embarrassed, or whatever. And then the person is not even looking at you. So it's the thought impacts the emotion, and the emotion impacts your behavior.
Mm.
So then the thought is, why is this person looking at me? The emotion is, I feel angry, or I feel sad, or I feel embarrassed, or frustrated, or whatever.
Mm.
And then I will now attack the person, or conflict, or curse the person, or fight. So you see, it's a negative thought leading to a negative emotion, or unhelpful thought, unhelpful emotion, and also a negative behavior, unhelpful behavior.
Yeah, and actually, that's a very important aspect in this process for individual. And then to understand where does my thoughts coming from, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Where do my thoughts coming from? Because we process our thought and believing that our thought are true. And as you said earlier on, sometimes we lie. Our thought can lie to us. You understand? You create a reality that it doesn't exist, based maybe on whatever, or whatever evidence you have at that time, which might not be evidence that it's actually real. So, and I'm talking in terms of this based of now of someone who is actually thinking of ending their life. So where now they started to think, people don't care about me, they don't love me, I'm a burden to these people. Do you see this? And that would generate the kind of emotions that you will feel, which then lead to kind of action that you will take.
Yes, absolutely. Our thoughts actually come from our environment.
Yeah.
So it is from our senses. What I see this person is looking at me. What I hear, maybe people are talking, and maybe people are laughing about something, then I think that they are laughing at me.
Mm.
My taste, my touch, and what I smell, those are the senses.
Mm.
And then it's the, so it's externally from the environment, but also sometimes like I said, our core beliefs, so it can also come from internally also.
Yeah.
And that is why we need to be aware of what our thought patterns are so that we can actually adapt that.
Yeah.
We change our negative thoughts to positive thoughts.
Okay.
So if my thought is, why is this people looking at me funny, then I can actually, and it makes me feel sad and bad and mad, then I can actually correct that. I can, we call it, you need to catch, you need to first identify your thought.
Yeah.
So catch your thought,
yeah.
Identify your thought, and then it's three C's.
Yeah.
First is catch, the second one is, check it.
Check it.
So it's catch, check, and change.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you catch it, then you say, but is this true?
Mm.
Is this real? Then you say, no, but this is true, not true. I don't know. I don't have evidence that this person is actually looking at me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know this person.
Yeah.
So you check it, and then you change it to a more positive.
Yeah.
And say, well, I cannot be bothered of what the person is saying right now because I don't know the person, and I know that I am brave or whatever.
Yeah.
So then we need to change it. So it's catch, check, and change your thoughts.
Okay.
And when it comes to the suicide of today.
Yeah. Can we just, I want us to come back to that.
Well,
we have a quick commercial, and then we'll be back on that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low. Because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
All right. So you were about to give an example of these three C's, you know, catch, check, catch, and change. And you were referring to a thought of suicide. Okay.
Mm. Yes. So often when people become suicide, though, it is because they people are actually starting to give up. And once again, the shame and the guilt that goes with that.
Yeah.
So what will people think? So we are actually using, when we are thinking about suicide, we intend to use a permanent solution for a temporary problem.
Mm.
So, you are not going to have this problem forever. Tomorrow, it sounds today like it's the end of the world, but tomorrow it actually may be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, so it is important that we realize this is not the end. This is a temporary solution.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I will get paid again and then I can actually pay my debt.
Yeah.
So, that is then how we change the thought.
Yeah.
So that we don't get stuck in this negative pattern.
Mm.
And when it comes to suicide, it's actually, that is the time that we need to know who's our call to person, our support system. So it's important that we need to have a support system. We need to know who's our support system, the friends or the family, that can actually provide emotional support, and it is not adding to our distress.
So when you mentioned that a person should recognize that this is a temporal situation, and with time, it's also going to change. It might change as well, but you got to do something also to make sure that it change. I think one also should look at the experience of life, or of what the person have gone through. There was a lot of things that the person have actually gone through in life, and they manage. They should also rely on their resources that they have, which is actually a rich one, because you have gone through a lot of things in life and you were able to manage them. So also to understand that this one
you have the strength, you have the power, you can also still manage that as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes, and I've seen that so often, sometimes when we look at solving a problem, we overthink, we overanalyze, and then you must the solution right in front of you. So we overcomplicate things. And I think what you said is so right. Do something that things can change.
Yeah.
And because we are in such a, our mental state is so deteriorated because of this, we are not able to make the decisions. And that is why we need to go through therapy. We can go to the doctor or to the psychiatrist to prescribe medication so that our mental health improves, so that it can improve our financial well-being. Now, even that doesn't sound right because I need a co-payment for the doctor or the psychologist or the psychiatrist, and then that just adds more stress. But then when you go to somebody and you say, like, I really I need to go to the doctor, then people will probably, family will be more keen to help. So that at the end, when you make that small change in your behavior, in your thinking, then it can change your behavior for improved decision making and enhancing your motivation. And with it also, when you get paid, to start to budget, to start to plan, so that you cut out the unnecessary spending, so that at the end, you don't run out of your money. My mother actually told me yesterday, and I was laughing really because it was funny.
Yeah.
She was telling me about a family member who now contacts, and my mother's 80 years old.
Yeah.
And this person contacts her every month and asks now $100 and $200. And then she will send and send and send and send. And then now the last time she said, listen, you need to decide. You need to realize I also need to stretch my little bit of money so that it actually lasts me until I get money again.
Yeah.
And the person was actually now so offended, and she didn't say it in a bad way, and the person was so offended. So now immediately from a psychological point of view, it was said in a nice way. It is just like, you actually also mess up my finances if I need to give you $200 every time. And you say you will give it back, and then you don't, then it means that my finances is also now messed up. For the money could have stayed in the bank, and now you give me the $200 back, and now I go and buy ice cream, whereas the money can actually stay in the bank, you know.
Yeah.
So, but then the fact that the person got offended, what does that mean? It is the person's own thoughts again, or their own internal issues. Childhood issues, the childhood wounds that is being opened up.
Exactly.
So now you actually bite somebody who has been helping you all along.
Yeah.
So I'm talking specifically about this so that we can also do some, looking at ourselves.
Yeah.
I cannot get the term now, becoming aware of how we contribute to a situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, and it comes from our self-esteem, our self-confidence.
Yeah.
Mm. And that is when people actually are just trying to educate us a bit, a little tiny bit, then we actually take it in a total wrong way.
Mm.
And it brings conflict because these people are now the maddest at the people who actually have helped them before.
Exactly.
So we need, and I love this conversation because we cover so much. But that is true. When I get mad, because then I actually need to come back to myself and ask, well, why am I mad? Because if you go back to the cash check and change, then you need to come back. But the thing is, sometimes we miss the thought, but you will never miss the feelings. Then you can ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? Oh, it's because the person said this. And then you just think a little bit further.
Yeah.
And then you will actually say, then you will actually see that it is not as bad
as
you have received it, as you have perceived it.
Yeah, exactly. So that process of interpretations, how you look at the situations, it means sometimes it's ourselves that create the kind of emotion that we go through because of how we interpret the situations. And if we learn, as you're saying, a self-reflection, kind of looking back and said, maybe did I look at this well? You know, and how did it affect me? Is it him or is it me? You know, in
is
the
it
way
him
how
or
I.
Is it me? But it's never us.
Exactly.
It's always the other person.
You talked earlier about pattern. That has become a pattern. Become a pattern for you just to think that when something happened to you, the other person is responsible. And you never actually get time to kind of look at yourself that it could be me in the way how I'm looking at this, you know?
Yes. And we actually called it introspection. And
exactly.
So
yeah.
Introspect, that's the word what I was looking for, is the way we have to analyze our own thoughts, behaviors, and emotions.
Yeah.
And see how am I contributing to the situation. Then we can already help ourselves a lot, and it will not feel like the world is against us.
Exactly.
Because people also often, you know, they lose... the will to love, because they feel that people are against them, there's no support system, and people will actually be better off without them, which is not the case. The hurt and the devastation that is being caused by the, you know, people would not want money.
Yeah.
I would rather want to be poor, but I would want to have you in my life.
Yeah.
Let us rather be poor together. Instead of you taking your life, and then the people actually, you know.
I think as people listening to you, I said, oh, no, I don't rather be poor.
I don't want to be poor with you together.
Definitely,
we don't expect a person to die by suicide so that I can be rich.
Exactly. Yeah. The other thing is that, and this is a serious one, you know, there was a report by Old Mutual, which actually shows about 8.1 billion Namibian dollars owed to cash loan businesses. What makes this service more? Let me put it this way: what is making this more tempting? What makes this service more tempting, but also psychologically dangerous? You understand?
Yeah. You know. Are you referring to the cash loans?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm. The cash loans, it is an immediate solution.
Yeah. But the one you were referring to earlier.
Yeah. Mm. You need money now. So, but then, remember you are already struggling. Now, those people take 30 to 35%.
Yeah.
Of your income, which means every month you are down 30 to 35%.
Yeah.
And that causes, so you never come out of the cycle, you stay in the cycle.
Yeah.
And because you already had financial problems and they are taking 30 to 35, just imagine what it means that you are short every month and you stay now like hooked, you are caught up.
Yeah.
Long term in the situation.
And
then people do not only have one cash loan account, they actually have several. So it means that they pay this one off so that they can get that money again.
Yeah.
You pay it off. And that is also a sense of you are caught between the rock and the hard place.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like there's an immediate solution for that.
So you're actually in the cycle.
It's like they call them sharks. That's exactly what it is. You know, you don't play with a shark. So you get stuck in that. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So let's get into some coping strategies now. One thing that we as psychologists and counselors that we always talk about is suggesting people to talk to someone. Why would be that? Why is that an important step? You will answer that after this quick commercial again. Yeah.
Sure.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people...
All eligible Namibian voters who missed out on last year's registration of voters, do not despair. The supplementary registration of voters takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025 in preparation for the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. The Electoral Commission of Namibia encourages all Namibian citizens who reside in local authority areas to register if they meet the requirements. To register, simply bring proof of your identity, age, and Namibian citizenship. To register for local authority elections, ensure you have proof of residence for the last 12 months. Not able to prove your residency in a local authority? Don't worry, you can confirm your residency by way of a sworn affidavit at the registration point. A right not exercised is a privilege wasted. Do not neglect your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
All right, we're back. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about, you know, financial stress. And today I'm joined by Elsabe. And we have been talking about, so what has, you know, the implications and the issue surrounding financial stress. So I wanted us to look at coping strategies. And as I earlier said, one thing you mentioned earlier also that, you know, if you find yourself in a situation like this, talk to a professionals. And this is something that we always suggest, that talk to someone. And this is like a first step of breaking that silence, which is also very difficult for a person to do. But it's a powerful, it's very powerful. So why this is very important?
Yeah, it's definitely important because, as we have said, there are so many benefits.
Yeah.
So talking to somebody, we are professionals. We spent many, many years in school. If I count, it's more than 20 years in school,
yeah,
where we have studied the behavior of people, the brain of people.
Yeah.
So we know, as Paul already also mentioned, we understand how people think.
Mm.
And we also know how people behave, how they cope, and what are the commonalities of problems and so on.
Yeah.
So to speak to a professional definitely helps, because we have many skills. Like I refer to the grounding technique.
Yeah.
That we're using your senses.
Yeah.
That is actually, we mentioned that anxiety is part of this financial distress impacting your mental health.
Mm.
So the grounding techniques is you can just sit where you are and you can actually look around you. And then the first question is, what do you see?
Mm.
So I see a light, I see my laptop, I see my phone, I see a cup. I see people, I see white walls. What do you see?
Mm.
I see a clock. So I see chairs. So you can just mention the things around you that you see. Then what do I hear?
Mm.
Where I am right now, there's actually wind blowing. So I can hear the wind. I can hear the clock. Maybe you can hear music. You can hear people talking.
Yeah.
So you can just give a few seconds and just, like, what do you hear? Then you say, what do I taste? Do you actually taste your mouth? I taste the tea that I just drank. I taste bitterness in my mouth, whatever. And then what do I touch?
Hmm.
Touch. And then, so you can touch your hair. You can touch your clothing. You can touch the desk. Whatever you can touch. And then, what do I smell? So I can smell my lotion, I can smell my perfume,
mm.
I can smell whatever is in the air if there's something. So you use your senses to ground yourself.
Yeah.
And then breathing also. We have breathing techniques that we can teach people, like the cognitive and the functional cognition that we were talking about, to teach people how to correct it. So we have lots of skills, how to deal with your anger, communication skills, how to manage your mental health. So those are some of the things that you can learn from a psychologist. But then we also refer to exercise, the eating health, sleeping. Depression, the first thing that it impacts is your sleeping and your eating.
Yeah.
And when you don't sleep, you are grumpy.
Yeah.
So we need to make sleep a priority, put our cell phones and our TV off, watch what we watch before bedtime, because it impacts our brain activity also.
Yeah.
And then another thing is we learned about gratitude.
Yeah.
Practice gratitude. It does something to the brain. It changes the brain. When we practice gratitude, and we say, thank you that I could wake up this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you for the 20 bucks instead of getting angry because it wasn't the 100 bucks. And then, as we have also talked about our thought patterns to focus on positivity, to change our thoughts so that we focus on being positive, so that we, so that does a lot to the brain and it impacts the chemicals that the brain secretes, and that is huge.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So, and especially when you said practicing gratitude, but sometimes people feel like, practicing gratitude can feel impossible when you're struggling to pay rent. So now, how can someone really start to shift their focus, even just a little? You know, when they find themselves, when you're talking just the gratitude, the practice gratitude, how can someone then start, even if just a little bit, how can they start just focus, to start shift their focus?
Yeah, the moment you start to practice gratitude, you already reduces the materialism focus. And then you actually, it boosts your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And gratitude actually brings happiness.
Yeah.
So immediately the brain shifts. So then you already start to feel better. So by practicing gratitude will not now immediately put $200 into your hand.
Yeah.
But the way that you interact with others, already the way you communicate with them may actually make them understand better and that they actually would want to help you. But also, as we have said the whole time, it's your decision making. So if you are problem focused, I'm actually a solution focused therapist, because I would help the client to focus on solutions instead of problems. Because if you are problem focused, then you cannot come up with solutions.
Yeah.
You cannot just try it. You cannot come up with solutions. So what we will ask, for instance, is what can I do? Who can I speak to? When can I do this? Why is it important? Where can I go? So you just use the 5 W's and the H already. How can I now immediately do this? Then maybe you can say, okay, maybe I can make fake cook and I can sell that now. Or I can call a few friends and say, can I not make fake cook for you? Because many of us cannot make fake cook, and I would probably spend $100 just to get 10 fake cakes. Or 20 fake cakes at the end, because that will make me now happy again. It will save me time, or I'm not saying me, but anybody else.
Yeah.
Cookies, not all of us can buy cookies, can make cookies for you. But then you start to come up with solutions.
Yeah. So I think I like the point you make in terms of when we talk about practicing gratitude, where you said this would it help to your brain shift. There is an example. when you reach 60, you just cut off somebody. Okay. It has been an hour, and that is not how I want it to end. So we will be back. Hold on. We will definitely, we'll be back. Is actually Lumumba featuring Kodri Ngumbu, Zikoro Koro. Yeah, as I said, I didn't want it to end the way it ended. So, all right, welcome back. And we still have Elsabe on the line. Yeah, so are you there? Can we hear you?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I didn't want it to end it the way it ended. So
yes.
Now, all right. Let's just quickly, probably now, looking at this suicide statistic in Namibia that are really devastating, especially among men. So, how is the link between this crisis and the economic pressure we have discussed? So now, what are the key warning signs that friends and family maybe should look for in someone who might be silently drowning in this stress? So what do they need to look for in the person?
Yes, there's really clear warning signs for people who are suicidal.
Yeah.
Just, one of it can be people are withdrawing.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't see it. So once people start to withdraw, that is a biggie.
Mm.
Also, people can become angry quite a lot.
Yeah.
Also, people can give away prized possessions. So sometimes people say, oh, you can have this because I may not have this again. I don't need this anymore.
Mm.
Mood swings, eating or sleeping more or less.
Mm.
People are also using more alcohol or drugs. And people sometimes say it.
Yeah.
They say that I don't want to live anymore. And we don't take it serious all the time.
Yeah.
Because it is an uncomfortable conversation, so we don't necessarily engage.
Yeah.
And sometimes people also get involved in dangerous risks, so they're becoming more risk-orientated, taking more risks, like driving extremely fast, for instance.
Yeah.
So there are some warning signs for depression. And, sorry, just one more thing. Depression is the number one cause of suicide.
Mm.
So people who are undiagnosed or untreated, the depression is also at risk.
Yeah. So there are always signs. Sometimes it's just that we don't pay attention to. Yeah.
Yes, there are always signs. It just, and you are saying it so nice.
Mm.
Sometimes we just don't pay attention to it.
Yeah. Now, if a listener is feeling hopeless, if we have someone listening right now feeling hopeless, what is the single most important message you want them to take away from our conversation?
There is definitely somebody who is willing to listen.
Mm.
So we have a mental institution, the government one. I can also give my number.
Yeah.
And at the end, you can call.
Mm.
We can give away some pro bono sessions if the person doesn't have medical aid.
Mm.
But also self-love. Self-love. And also you are loved. It may sometimes feel that you are not loved. There's somebody who loves you.
Yeah.
So with and when we ask with Father, that is the main thing that we forget.
Mm.
There's people who care about us who will be devastated. My uncle actually passed this morning, and you know, I'm grieving. It's my mother's brother, but I'm grieving, and he died.
You said died this morning.
Yes, yes.
I'm
not suicide, but cancer. But I'm just saying it hurts to lose somebody to death in an if it is the normal illness pattern, it hurts. Now just imagine to lose somebody to suicide.
Mm.
If somebody dies by suicide, and we don't say commit suicide because we commit a crime and those type of things. We don't commit suicide. We die by suicide. So, and that is how the language has changed. So
yeah,
the people realize that when you do something, you have the ability to die. Nobody really wants to die of suicide. Like this last few seconds, people actually want it to change their mind.
Yeah,
but we are loved. There's somebody who wants us to be on this earth.
My condolences. I feel like I'm so cruel asking you to come on today.
No,
and...
I didn't even have mentioned it. It's okay. No,
yeah.
I'm really okay. No, it's
okay.
Fine, you know.
Now
I can also share with people that, you know, but it doesn't bring my life to an end. I still have a lot to live for me. Thank you for the condolences.
All right. Okay. Now, when you look at the scale of this problem in Namibia, what gives you hope? What gives you hope?
There's a lot of help out there.
Mm.
We really have a lot of people who care about us. We are a beautiful country. We are known for our warmth, even though it may sound that we are not. But there's always... It does give me hope. You know, I actually sit here on a plot and I look at our beautiful nature and it does something to me.
Yeah.
So what gives me hope is that there's always a solution for something.
Yeah.
And as I already also mentioned is that nothing is permanent.
Yeah.
So tomorrow the sun will shine again. So we must just and we claim that we are 95% Christian.
Yeah.
And at the end, you know, we have become hopeless. We don't need to be hopeless.
Mm.
We can just, there's many things that we can do. Call a friend and we laugh together or we make jokes or we have a nice deep conversation of encouragement, for instance.
Mm. All right. Any last message that you would like to send to our say to our listeners that are listening right now?
What I would like to say is that please get help.
Mm.
Please speak up.
Yeah.
And if you call somebody when you feel that you are down, like I already said, there's somebody who really cares about you.
Yeah.
So don't give up. Don't use a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Mm.
Choose life.
Yeah. So, Elsabe, we appreciate you even on this day when this happened to you. So, and you decided still to come on. And that's a really a good example for everyone listening out there. So that we choose life, as you just actually said. Definitely, we will reach out to you again in the very near future. And thank you for giving us those information and teaching us and informing us today. So we're looking forward again to talking to you in the future.
Oh, thank you very much. You're very welcome.
All right.
All right.
All right, babe.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right, that is our conversation this morning. It's Elsabe. It's a clinical psychologist from Vela Wellness Practice. So please, she didn't give me the the telephone number again. Okay, so her telephone number. If you want actually to be in contact with her, if you find yourself that you need help from them, it's 0811-295906. 0811-295906. So that is the number to actually get to contact her. All right. So, yeah, let's have a music break. And, yeah, let's get back to the same music that I was playing earlier on. I haven't heard this music for a while. Welcome back, and our time, it's about 39 minutes past the hour of of 12, I'm going back. Huh? I'm going back. So, yeah, 39 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're just joining us, this is Mind Matters. And I have been, for the whole morning, from 11 o'clock until now, I have been in conversation with Elsabeth. It's a clinical psychologist. We were looking at, really, we were tackling the question, is your happiness tied to your financial situation? And if you, hopefully really, really, really covered quite a lot of things, in that discussion with Elsabeth. So quite interesting, couple of things that we discussed. So, and especially one thing probably I would emphasize, and we link this, the whole question was we're linking it to the situation that is actually happening in our country, where so many men are ending their own life, and that's due to financial pressure, that's due to financial stress. And that's where we tie it to. So we tied that to that aspect. I hope you were listening, and I hope you picked up quite a lot of useful information for you to make a difference, to make some changes in your own life, or to have a different perspective looking at this. Yeah. So, yeah, there are factors that we may not have looked at them. We were more looking on your mind processes, how your mind process information, how your mind see things that are happening, and how you process that. That we're looking at. So, but there are other factors that are at play. You know, unemployment. So when there are no enough jobs, as we see in our society, as we see in our country, people have no, you know, they have no steady income. And this is not an excuse that people should end their life because there are no jobs. We're just saying that there are other implication factors, other factors that may contribute where people they find where people find themselves in this situation, and take a cognizance of that. It's the foundation. What we're trying to say is it's the foundation of financial instability. So this is what we are looking at. There are things that we need to change in our society also to reduce this situation. So it's not just entirely depending on individual. That's okay. As we said, you can work on your mind. You can work on your brain. You can work as much as that is the case. There are also societal issues that need to change. And one of that is unemployment. And we just don't have people have the same level of dealing with that. Coping mechanisms are totally, totally different. And some people have not developed the resilience of coping with that. So, and we're encouraging who you are, whoever you may be, to, as we said, talk to somebody when you find yourself in those situations. Talk to professionals who are trained to actually to help you and develop coping mechanisms. There are element on you. There are component. I wouldn't say component. You have different dimension as a human being. You have the physical one. You know, you may need $100 to pay your electricity. But if you don't have that, so you have another problems. The problem, your mental problems. You know, no matter how much you worry about it, and if you don't have it, and then now, overthinking, she mentioned that, no matter how much you worry, I don't pay my electricity, how then I cook my, if you don't have it, you don't have it. No matter how much, how am I going to cook for my child? Where am I going to get what? No matter how much you think that, it won't come automatically. So there would be someone who would help you You know, because what you do is that you create another pressure to yourself being in a stressful situation as well. How do I can be relaxed, you know, so that I can think well within the situation that I found myself? So we continue from this.
Who are we, you ask? The National Road Safety Council is a statutory body established in 1996 with a legal mandate to promote and manage road safety across Namibia. We believe every accident is preventable and every life is precious. Our mission is to make our roads, vehicles, and users safer based on effective road safety management. So, join our unwavering vision and commitment to zero deaths and serious injuries. Visit www.nirc.org.na to learn more. Do the right thing and save lives.
Good morning. Welcome to Mind Better.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too, sir?
I'm very fine, man.
That's good. No, I'm very grateful that you carried forward the discussion that was presided by the daughter there.
Yeah. You've gone far. You've gone far. We can't hear you anymore.
I know. I think it's just the clearance. Yes.
Hello, are you there? Are you still talking? I can't hear you. Hello? You totally disappear. I can't hear you at all. Can you call back? Yeah. So I couldn't hear him at all. So let him call back again. All right. Hello?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I don't know what was the disturbance, maybe from the waves of the natural waves.
Yeah, no, I can hear you now. Yeah.
So what I was trying to say is that it's good that you continue on.
Yeah.
With the discussion that was presented.
Yeah.
By
you are gone again.
Okay, so okay, what happened is that there is an echo there. That's why it's disturbing. Because I'm still listening myself from the previous training session.
Oh.
Yes, something is wrong there.
Okay, it could be for my system, but I'm not too sure where I can
touch. Yeah, but I can still go on.
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
So now you know the issue that you people have discussed with your two different guests.
Yeah.
I think the other guest came during the break, during the Hellenic
social times. Yeah.
And they were all talking about those issues that are burdening, those social problems that are burdening the society.
Yeah.
In terms of suicide, and I jotted down the number, the figure that you gave there.
Yeah.
The statistics. It is very, very worrisome.
Mm.
Because you see, men are the victims of this. They are the victim of gender-based violence. They are the victim of suicide. They are problems. They are the victim of many other things.
Mm.
And it's true what your guests, speakers have said, both of them, and especially Lenny, emphasized the point that the expectation from society.
Yeah.
We are actually the one who are leading those people to kill themselves.
Mm.
Many a time. Many situations.
Yeah.
So like we were told there, there's no need for you to kill yourself because of lack of employment.
Yeah.
Because of any other problems that you have.
Yeah.
So yes, we were told this morning before you took over.
Yeah.
But yes, experience from people who were actually in that situation and how they overcame.
Mm.
These are the coping mechanisms that we are talking about.
Yeah.
But now we need to reduce seriously, because there's no doubt that men are neglected.
Yeah.
The boy child is neglected. So when they started doing these things, and especially Menetumbo, she wept. And it was here. Yeah. So now what, again, you look at the skill, even the programming.
Mm.
Recently they launched they were having a summit where Namibia is doing very well.
Yeah.
In terms of peace and security. And if the peace, the men do not have peace. What? Not forget about happiness. Anybody can be happy.
Yeah.
Many of those people, even prominent people who have got money, who committed suicide, they were happy.
Yeah.
But they tell me they always testify that I never had peace.
Yeah. Actually, there's a Nubio index that showed Namibia as one of the country that not safe in terms of war. But not safe because you can't walk at night, or your house will be broken in, and all these kind of things. Yeah. Mm.
Can you see?
Yeah.
And those are social problems. Those are social deviant problems that we need to address. Of course, like you said, it's a corrective effort. It requires a corrective effort, collaboration. On the summit that I was talking about, it's now talking about peace for women and girls.
Yeah.
Just look at it now. Just look at it. Even though those are some of the agenda that were created a long time ago during the June platform and all these things. But even now, we are still struggling in the language that we are using.
Yeah.
It is what? Because if you go to the Namibia Correctional Service, ask them, or you can go to WADS. Then you look at their document that they have documented, especially in Havana, there in Koryaka, and everywhere. So then they are now looking at men who are suffering, being violated, and they are dying in silence. These people who can really say, yes, me, I'm a man, yeah, I am, but then I need to make sure that I control my emotion.
Yeah.
So like most of this program that we are talking about, I control my emotion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will be a big, 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 big problem. So what we need to do is to make sure that we really create sensation programs in our community and don't leave men behind, my friend.
Yeah.
Whom are they going to partner us up with?
Yeah.
That's why they are feeling.
And I think that's a very important point. And we also tied it to, I just mentioned actually unemployment, because we have able men sitting at home doing nothing. That's a time bomb that we're looking at. So, and if you leave them behind, you will have a problem, a social problems. You know,
the guest who was here during Eleni's program.
Yeah.
Said, let's not allow loneliness.
Exactly.
And we are told an idle mind is a workshop of the devil.
Exactly.
The devil can manipulate you, can bring all kinds of thoughts.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, let me tell you just briefly before I conclude.
Yeah, please.
We have all passed through problems, especially like myself. And I hope if you ask my children and things like that, when they were left with their mother and all these other things, we had problems. We're talking about electricity. My electricity could be cut off innocently.
Yeah.
I'm still going to deal with this stuff window.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I pay today 7,000 a week after a week. The children who call me that they cut off the electricity. What happened? I just paid 7,000 like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It was all confusion, administrative law, and all these rules have been manipulated. So let's go to our point. You can find yourself in dire situation and need a problem like mine, where my children had to attend to go to, for example, just do use the what is the candle. Not that that did not pay. Of course, we had problem also financially.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself in this situation now, and the people are talking, there's no light there, there's no lights there, all these things.
Yeah.
So why do you have to kill yourself? It's true. People need to understand because it's ignorant.
Yeah.
So, of course, people should not sit at home, the idle, but they need to be mobilized.
Yeah. I think that's one thing you said earlier on that make much more sense, that we as a community also lead people into this, where you see, you may have actually developed coping mechanisms. You are more resilient. You have learned more than other people. Some people might end up don't have a support of their family, don't have support of the community. And because of that, they may not even know what to do. And that's also a point you're making, that we shouldn't leave the poor child behind. I think that's the very point. Yeah.
In conclusion is that people resort. Of course, we have got social workers there.
Yeah.
How many are they? You have psychologists there. How many are they? So they are so few, and imagine you cannot have access to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask me, because what we need, let's also use family structures. Mm. Let's revive those family structures where they can really help, because people might not open up, because if you open up with a friend or two or three, five,
yeah.
Like this is the brother of mine who was saying that I'm tired of being called strong.
Yeah,
then they had no attempt of suicide. They had decommitted. But I had all this problem, but I never thought of stop suicide. But then you still have that. Am I living well? Yes. But you are living well.
Yeah.
Let's also counsel ourselves and make sure that we use this family structure that are there. They are also open. They are uncles. They are brothers and all these things that can help us too.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for your program.
No, thank you for coming through. All right. Well, our time, it's about 56 minutes past the hour of 12. Our Mind Matters ends at 1 o'clock. We still have about 4 minutes if you want to come through and just, you know, then it's fine. You can come through as well and just do that. Or if you have a question or something that you quickly want to discuss with me, make it right now, because, you know, our time is really, really, really going. We have a pretty good discussion with Elsabe. So, yeah. So we looked at some of the things that we talked about when it comes to coping strategy. We talk about that. Talk to someone. That's also what Anga Bwana talking about. Talk to someone, break the silence. This is the most important step, you know. Shame grow in silence. Understand that shame grows in silence. So in our culture, especially for men, we are taught to be strong, to be, you know, hardehat. Do you understand? In Africans, hardehat. But that silence is killing us, okay? It's killing us. And Dr. Gurale said it. It was the support of his family that's actually saved him. Talk to your spouse, trusted friend, a pastor, a community elder. Talk to someone. That's very important. So opening up to your family about the situation can bring you closer as well. So you don't need money to go for a walk together. You know, you don't need money to play a game with your kids. Eh? This moment builds connection and it reduces stress. Now, the other thing that I always said, and this is something that I always said, take inventory. Know where you stand. That's very important. You can't fix a problem if you don't understand it. Eh? You can't fix a problem if you don't understand it. So there was this soldier. I used to provide a training to the Ministry of Defense. And this one soldier came to me. And we were talking about finance and all that in terms of this, and said, I really don't know, understand where my money goes. You know? And he was really open enough. He said, at home, I only have, you know, those traditional hut at home. I don't even have a very good structure where I go and sleep. I even shame of going home sometimes. You know, that's why I spend much of the time. So what did I do? So this is now come from the principle that you can't fix a problem if you don't know, if you don't understand it. You have to understand the problem to be able to fix it. So one simple thing that I actually talked to him is that, okay, take a month, track. Now, I want you to track your money, okay? Write it down in a notebook or use your phone, whatever. Now we can be able to use our phone and things like that. Where does your money goes? It's okay? You might be surprised, really. So what he did is that I said, any penny that you spend, write it down. Even if it's 1 cent, write it down. Just write it down. Know where your money is going. You know, track them. So, and in the training, that's what I asked him. And see where your money goes. From there, then you'll be able to plan. Okay? Because you know where your money goes. So do that. And I'm asking you to do that if you find yourself in these situations. You know, write every, if you don't have the receipt, keep the receipt of everything you buy. If you don't have a receipt, write it down. All right. At the end of the month, you know, put this, you know, and write everything. At the end of the month, put them in different categories. Okay. You have maybe utilities where you pay your water, your electricity and things like that. So, and then you have your communication, where you buy your airtime, your whatever the case may be. And then you have your entertainment, where, you know, you go and drink, you go and fun and all that. So you put it in different categories. So, and then you started to see where do you spend much of your money? Eh? So this soldier managed to do that. He did that religiously. And then he actually found out where does he spend much of his money? 80% of his money goes to entertainment. There you go. You know where your money goes. So when you know, you'll be able to know where you can cut. Sometimes people just complain, I don't have money. But do you know where your money goes? The one that you have. So from there, I think he was able to know where his money goes. He started to plan. He started to cut on certain things. Until now, I met him after 5 years or something like that. After 5 years since I gave them a training, I met him and said, when he met me, he said, oh, no. You really saved my life. You know, the other time when you given us a training. So, I'm now even a captain. He was actually promoted. He is a captain. My life have completely changed. And I said, well, it's not me. I just gave you a direction. You know, you did it yourself. And as I said, you can't solve a problem when you don't know what the problem is, what it is. So do that, you'll be able, really, and that will be able to help you. All right? Our time is already 2 minutes past the hour of one. And, let me say my goodbyes. And I hope, as you said, today from Hileni, from Social Times to this, we really covered this topic very, 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 very strong today. So hopefully you pick up something that would help you to change. And remember here, what I can say here is that there is help out there. And no matter what you're going through, as Elizabeth said, it is temporal. You have gone through a lot of things already in life. This too will pass. This too will pass, but it doesn't pass with you sitting at home just hoping that it will pass. No, it will pass you doing something. And one of the simple things that you can do is to talk to somebody. All right? That's the first step. That's the first step that you can talk to somebody. Okay? So talk to a professional, talk to a family member that you trust, talk to a friend, talk to somebody. All right. So are we experiencing this problem in our society? We have. And especially this goes especially to men, because we have this. It's a code we grow up as men. You don't say your problem. You don't talk about your problem. That's not being a man. OK, so let's break that code. Let's break that silence and start talking. So because otherwise we will lose breadwinners, we will lose brothers, we will lose, you know, sons and husbands and fathers. So let's do that. Let me leave you in a good hand of the Queen Elizabeth, the matriarch. you know, coming up with Elizabeth Wilt. Well, stay tuned. From me, Marco Chiavelli, have a great weekend. You know, don't do what I wouldn't do. You know what I wouldn't do. So, but if you do, when you do it, name it after me, that this is for Mike Oshoveli. So have a nice weekend. Still the rest, what is rest for the weekend? Until Monday, when I see you on Unpacking the Day. For me, a goodbye and enjoy your Saturday afternoon.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika zeitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have...